Today is October 25th, 2017, and this is episode number 434 of the Apple Context Machine, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, managing editor at TMO.
And I'm Brian Chaffin, and I have a red hat band. To get the full story on anything, and it's crocodile, on anything we cover, seriously, on this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/ACM. And if you'd like to comment on or question anything about the show, shoot us a note at acm@macobserver.com.
First, I can totally verify the hat band.
And you can't.
It's really great, and it looks awesome on the new hat you have. I love it. And second, what was the bat thing?
It was a malfunctioning gun.
That shoots
kittens.
Oh, those poor kittens. Now there's a kitten back up in your gun. And when they all pop out, it's just going to be this chaotic kitten mess.
I don't actually put any forethought into this stuff. So, you know, work with me.
I'm really trying.
All right. Speaking of forethought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are you implying we actually came up with topics before the show?
We did. We did come up with topics before the show, but I'm actually wondering how much forethought Amazon put into this. Amazon Key was announced today. Mm-hmm. This is part service, part product. So first of all, it uses Amazon Cloud Cam, which is a brand new product that was also announced today.
Okay.
Cloud Cam is a security camera. Goes in your home and it works with Alexa. Right? Good with me so far?
Yes. So I'm expecting at some point for you to bark out, "Hey, Alexa, spy on me."
Yes. Yeah, because you know the camera in your closet. That's not enough. You need one pointed toward your front door because Amazon needs to see who's coming in. And so what Amazon Key is, it combines Cloud Cam with a third-party smart lock from either currently Yale or Kwikset.
Okay.
And with this combination of products, Amazon delivery people can let themselves into your house to leave packages inside your door instead of on your doorstep.
So, all right. So I've got it. All right. UPS guy typically drops off a Amazon package outside the door and it just sits there until I get home or my neighbors get home, whoever. And of course, that's assuming that someone didn't come by and just take the package while we were out. So
right.
I get the concept. What Amazon wants to do is make sure that the packages that they are delivering to us actually get to us. So create a system where they can remotely unlock your front door, drop a package in, pull the door closed behind them and leave. And then they have the camera set up for accountability. Have I got this right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, you do. Except for I don't know that it works with UPS. I think it may work with Amazon's delivery people.
I'm assuming it works with UPS because I checked to see if I'm eligible in Boulder. And Amazon, mm-hmm. as far as I know, does not have their own delivery teams in Boulder. And I am.
You are eligible.
Hmm. I could drop the $250 or whatever it is on the camera and lock combo, and
yeah, it's $250. And Amazon, you can install the lock yourself, or get free installation from a professional to install the lock for you.
All right, that part's actually kind of cool. I mean, if you really want the smart lock and you have Amazon Prime, because I'm assuming
it requires Prime.
Yep. Okay. And you buy enough from Amazon where you would like them to drop the packages inside, they can have someone install the lock so you know it's done right.
Yeah. You know, I like, okay. So I don't like it. First of all, let's just get that right off the bat. I actually feel sorry for delivery people who are going to be entering people's homes.
Well, the video they show, they don't enter your home. They kind of open the door and toss the package in and pull the door closed behind them.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Still, whatever. From dogs to escaping or attacking them to cats getting out, et cetera. Right. I mean, like these poor folks are going to be subjecting themselves to
alarm systems going off.
Alarm systems going off. People getting mixed up and forgetting that they had okayed this to be done, and you know, people being naked or having sex, or and you know, which could or might, you know, that might or might not be good. I guess
it depends
on a lot of different factors.
Oh boy, howdy.
So I actually feel sorry for them.
Did you read their little FAQ that goes along with this?
No,
because they actually directly address the alarm system and the pets thing.
Okay.
And what they say is, look, if you have pets and they're going to be able to get near your front door, don't sign up for the service, please.
Oh, well, that takes care of everything.
Yeah, there you go.
That solves all that. Well, why didn't you say so?
Well, I just did. But I wanted you to be able to get that home rant out. It's kind of cathartic.
No, that's nonsense. It doesn't solve anything because people are still going to do it.
Okay. Now, the other part about the alarm systems, and I know I totally fed that one to you. For the alarm systems, they say the Amazon key is not compatible with any home alarm system. Therefore, you have to make sure that your alarm system is disabled on the day you're expecting a delivery. If you're not comfortable leaving your alarm system deactivated, then you shouldn't sign up for the service. So there you go. Everything's taken care of. Yeah,
again, problem solved.
So here's the scenario that I'm envisioning is running through your head right now. And this is the next phase of Amazon Key. And it's where the Amazon delivery person drops off the package, but they come in your house, they walk around and look around to see what it is you still need, and then order it for you.
I lived my previous place, townhome. It was a very nice townhome. Mm-hmm. And I was renting in a you know, obviously a whole complex of townhomes. And while it was definitely an upper middle class place, mm-hmm. we were right across the street from a train station. And so there was a lot of foot traffic. And because there's a lot of foot traffic, quite frankly, it was pretty easy for people to steal stuff. So we had a rampant package theft. It wasn't just us. It was all our neighbors mm-hmm. on the street. And there was about, I don't know, 40 or 50 units on that street. And during Christmas time in particular, there was a lot of package theft. So I get the need that they're trying to meet here. My problem is, and this has been one of my problems with the entire Alexa ecosystem, is that Amazon has never demonstrated any kind of commitment to privacy or security. And we haven't had a major hack that I know of Alexa systems, but the unstated word there is yet. And maybe we never will. Maybe Amazon has truly, truly committed themselves to developing some kind of system here that is foolproof and, you know, hacker proof or close to it. Mm-hmm. But considering the fact that they're actually working with third party locks, no, they're not. They didn't do that. I've also used with Airbnb, I've used smart locks. Mm-hmm. And they're terrific.
Yep.
Very, very useful for giving people temporary access and not having to worry about keys, not having to worry about meeting people and stuff. You know, send them a code, you're good to go. It's great for doing, you know, letting, you know, someone, a visitor in, giving someone who is giving a family member activating the babysitter access to your home, or the dog walkers access to your home, or cleaners. That's one of the things Amazon is touting with Amazon Key, is that they're going to be working with, I think, some 11,000 different providers of in-home services. So to give them temporary access to your home, for you to give them temporary access to your home.
Uh-huh.
And I get all that. I get the need for that. I get the convenience of all that. But until serious security professionals have banged on this thing, I personally would not let it into my home if I had any control over it.
Well, considering how much you trust the Echo, I'm not surprised at all. And for me, this is one of those things where right now I look at Amazon Key and I think, this is not a product for me. First, because of the way my building that I live in is set up, it would not be a reliable way for them to get at me, because there are times when there are other doors that are locked that would just prohibit them from getting to my door to begin with. But then, even though I'm ordering stuff off Amazon all the time, I'm not really ordering enough that I feel like I need to have them just dropping stuff inside my door for me. And then I look at the cost, and then I also have the, and we know that I've been willing to trust Amazon quite a bit because I have two Echoes in my place. Mm-hmm. But I look at this and I'm thinking, okay, now we're adding in a new variable. And this is the variable where they let someone else go into my house. And right now, that's not something I'm comfortable with. Now, if I had a house where, say, it was sort of like an airlock, sort of set up a mudroom thing where you could lock an inner door as well, okay, have that outer door keyed so that the Amazon people can drop the packages in that mudroom area.
Oh, yeah, that'd actually be great. I would be comfortable with that.
Yeah, I would sign up for that. In a heartbeat, it would be great. But right now, I need to see this in action, and I need to see how long it takes before there's a report of someone stealing. Because even though we're talking about people that are supposed to be trusted, we're talking about a system where they have a camera that's logging everything that's going on, we're also talking about just humans. And there's the thing where humans will make bad life choices.
Yeah. I hadn't even gone down the rabbit hole of how keen am I on Amazon now having actively monitoring video inside my home.
Yeah. Well, and in their FAQ thing, they say you need to set this up within 25 feet of your door, and it needs to be aimed directly at the door. So I get that they're trying to limit the scope of what the camera can see.
Yes, but I don't want that. I do not want that. It's a wiretap in your house.
I totally get it. At that point, Amazon could potentially keep track of when people come and go in your home. And who is coming and going.
And that if that data exists, that data will be accessed by third parties at some point, be it maliciously or via warrant. And of course, whenever I talk about the police accessing this data, I'm not so much concerned about the police accessing data on a warrant. My concern there is slurping up everything and to find crimes.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, as opposed to pursuing a crime that was specifically committed and pursuing leads and using warrants and things like that. It's the mass surveillance aspect of all of these wiretaps that concerns me out of principle, mind you.
Yeah, no, I get that. It's.
I don't need Amazon to know who comes to my house. I really don't need that. I am so incredibly uninterested in Amazon adding to their profile of me, because they've got a profile just like Facebook and Google does. I don't need them connecting my friends and business associates to my life. I don't need that. I don't need that. And they will do that. They will absolutely. I don't know that they'll do that, but they'll do that.
You know, I'm looking at this and while I'm not having as strong a negative reaction to it as you are, but still,
you seldom do. I'm kind of a nut on this stuff.
Yeah, and I tend to be we'll call it the more reasoned voice in the discussion. First, because it sounds good, and second, because it makes me sound better than you. I totally forgot where I was going with this.
You were being a jerk about something. Go ahead.
I probably was. Nope, it's gone. Whatever it was actually a really good point. But we did establish that I'm better than you, so there's that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it'll come back to me later, maybe.
Right.
Yeah.
So again, I see the need they're trying to meet. I respect the need. I identify with the need that they're trying to meet.
I remember now. I remember my point. My thought.
Bated breath.
I'm sure. Brush your teeth. It helps with that. What I'm wondering is if Amazon was seeing that there's enough of a need based on Prime members saying, hey, my package was stolen, that they felt that this was a service that they needed to create, or they had enough people that were telling them they're uncomfortable with packages sitting on their door all day, that they decided to create this as a way to address a customer issue, as opposed to what would be a cool way to monitor people even more.
No, for sure. It's just the monitoring will be a consequence, not even a side effect, but a consequence of the service. And I'm not interested in giving a corporation access to my home in that way.
How do you feel about these in-home webcam security devices? You know, like the Canary and the Omna and the
not keen on the ones that are uploading to a server.
Which would okay? So for the three that I mentioned, only the Omna is storing locally.
Yeah, if it's storing locally, I don't feel the like if I had a security cam in my house, it would be to see what the cats are doing. Or if I had a dog, I'm really a dog person. I just happen to live in a home right now with cats, but it would be to see what the dog is up to. Mm-hmm. That's most likely, but and I would want it, and also of course for security in case of a break-in, but I would want it storing locally.
All right. So what I'm hearing is you'd feel uncomfortable on some level in my place because there are three different security cameras set up right now. Only one of them stores locally, and there's two Echo Dots.
I would just flip the cameras off a lot. You should see that. You should hear the things that I say to the Alexa that is in my home because I don't have control over that. I'm very rude to her on a continual basis.
Well, when the robot revolution comes and the machines become our overlords, and they cart you off to that special place for the mean people, mm-hmm. I'll shed a tear for you.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. That seems reasonable. Yeah. So here's another scenario.
Uh-huh.
So what if it is hackable? I don't know that it's hackable. Like I said, it could be foolproof. It could be hackproof. It's not, because nothing is. Mm-hmm. But you're actually trusting a lot of people, including people who might have access to the people who you actually should trust.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, you are, here we go. I am working for a courier service And I happen to know that this house has, because I've been there before, and the owners have answered the door and they've opened the door, and I've seen the bars of gold sitting on the shelf.
Right. So you've been in this side job, this hypothetical side job you have, you deliver packages to Scrooge McDuck's house.
Correct. And I'm going to be delivering a package. Owner's not going to be there. I'm going to have permission to open the door. Well, now I've gotten some kind of small EMP device so that I can open the door, kill the camera, go in, take the gold, and walk away.
Okay.
That's an easy possibility. But now, what if I am the friend of a delivery person, but I happen to be a scoundrel, mm-hmm. and so I'm able to take their device that potentially has access to one of these homes, and I'm able to access this home.
Now, the fail-safe for that, because I did read through all this stuff.
Yeah, on Amazon I did. Has. I didn't.
Luckily, I'm here to help you with this. So that specific scenario where you're the scoundrel friend, that one is far less likely to happen, because the way it works is that the package and the request for entry are linked together. So the delivery person can request the access into the place, but only because they're with the package that's been tracked to that destination. So
yeah, okay. So, but what if that's compromised? That's my point.
Okay, now if it's compromised, all bets are off.
Exactly, and the difference between, because I was talking about this with a friend of mine. Mm-hmm. And his immediate reaction was, do you know what is hackable? Walking up to a door and smashing it open.
Yeah.
And that's a fair point. Here's the deal, though. When you look like you belong, and when you clearly have access to a home, no one pays you any attention.
In my experience, you don't even have to look like you belong. Just do your thing, and most people won't notice. I mean, people will take moving trucks up to someone's house, break in, put all of their personal possessions into a truck and drive off, and the neighbors will watch the whole thing happen and not say a word.
Yeah, because you don't know.
Yeah. So, you know, you can go do your thing, but you know, honestly, I think the bigger concern shouldn't be someone going to hack Amazon, or they're going to figure out how to work around their authentication system. The real security risk I see is in the locks themselves. These are the same locks that you can go and buy off the shelf. And these are locks that manufacturers have had to really scramble over the last year to try and improve security, because they have been stunningly simple to hack. And that's the bigger threat right there.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think that these have been time tested.
They're much more secure than the locks that we had 2 years ago.
That's great.
I know. We need to see.
Such a difference between the technology involved in making a physical lock secure and making an internet accessible lock secure. And the lock companies that are out there don't necessarily have that expertise.
No. And their big Achilles heel right now seems to be Bluetooth.
Mm.
That's the hack vector of choice right now for smart locks.
Yeah. And that stuff, that's my biggest concern here with Amazon, above and beyond the corporate surveillance of my home, above and beyond that, above and beyond having, you know, dozens, if not hundreds of people potentially have access to my home. Right. Above and beyond that, it's whether or not the systems can be compromised by third parties.
Yeah. And anytime you add a layer of complexity into a system, the potential for abuse increases, whether that's through a hack or something else.
It does.
Yeah.
So, you know what, I would rather Amazon have done is to make, here we go, to make a box that I can have professionally installed on in my front yard or on my sidewalk or on my, I don't know, something, so that they could put packages in that.
You know, on one hand, I really like the idea. And on the other hand, that really limits the size of packages you can get.
Depends on how big the box is.
Well, I know. So
it doesn't necessarily limit the size of packages. It would possibly mandate the size of a box you need. And people with apartments couldn't do that.
True.
And a lot of people live in apartments.
Now, what I've seen Amazon doing around here and in, well, and in other cities as well, like, so there's a Whole Foods that I go to periodically that near the cash registers at the entrance of the store, there's this big bank of lockers, and they're all Amazon lockers. And so you can have your package delivered and it goes into a locker. And, yeah. And of course they'll have a set size, so it can't be any bigger than that. You show up, there's a little kiosk thing attached to it. You type in whatever code you need to, and then your locker door pops open.
I happen to know that Australia does something similar, but it's not Amazon specific. So packages get delivered. They go to the post office and they go into a you get a text notification, get a QR code, and you can go to the post office and show your QR code, and it will unlock the locker that your device happened, that your package happens to be in.
I just realized part of what Amazon's doing here is the same thing that they've done in the book space, essentially, which is replace the market with their own version. So they are replacing the postal delivery service with their own. And it just so happens the locker, in this case, can be your living room.
Right. By the way, I had a typo in my title for the story. Let's apostrophe S when it should have been L-E-T-S. Lame.
Oh, man.
I'm fixing that right now. That's why I didn't immediately respond to you. Multitasking poorly.
That's okay. In this case, I'm glad that you're a little slow to respond.
Yeah, fair enough. Anyway, it's all fixed now. We've beaten this. I don't know. There's too many questions. I want this beaten on by security professionals before I'd even consider it. And to be fair, it is the first Alexa product that I have truly been tempted by, but I wouldn't do it until it's been banged on for a while.
Okay. And here's my take before we move on. I think it's a really cool idea. I'm not in a position yet where I feel like I would trust this completely. And it's not something that's going to make me give up my UPS store Dropbox that I already have.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yep. There you have it. All right. See here. We have another topic. So something that's been on my mind is, you know, I have an Apple TV now.
Yeah.
Where I use that, I've just recently been thinking, so I had a light bulb go out. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, wait a minute. I've got an Apple TV now. I could do a HomeKit light bulb. It really hasn't been an option for me until now. And
well, it has been an option, but it wouldn't have been a very good option.
Well, no, it wouldn't.
Because you wouldn't have had remote access.
Correct. Right. And I wasn't too interested in going down a third-party hub system. I'd really like to be able to do this with HomeKit, and then need an Apple TV, and I just got an Apple TV. Mm-hmm. And I'll probably get a HomePod when it comes out later this year.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so, wait. Listening device in your home?
Yeah, I trust Apple. I trust Apple where I don't trust other companies.
Listening device in your home.
In part because Apple is committed to processing locally as much as they can and anonymizing what they can't. And that's not the case for everybody else. Everybody else is just offloading it to servers for processing externally.
I'm still going to give you a hard time because I can't.
You can, but it's inconsistent, or I'm not being inconsistent.
Nonetheless, I'm going to give you a hard time because I can. Anyhow, you're getting a HomePod, but from what you're saying, I'm gathering you're building up to a need that you want to address.
Yeah,
I think HomeKit can do it.
So Philips obviously was fast out of the gate with a solid hub and smart bulb system.
Yeah, the Hue system.
Mm-hmm. The Hue system, yeah. And, you know, good stuff. And there's plenty of other smart bulbs out there. There's stuff that works with Alexa system. There's stuff that works with Google system. There's stuff that works with HomeKit. But what I was really interested in doing is getting a bulb that I don't need any kind of third-party hub for, that will interact strictly with my Apple TV as a hub.
Okay. So first, what we need to do is address the Apple TV part, which is if you're going to use this at home,
uh-huh.
you don't need an Apple TV. So let's take we'll take the Sylvania smart bulb as an example.
Okay. The Smart Plus.
Yep. So we're talking about a light bulb that's under $40 for a single bulb.
Newly announced.
Mm-hmm.
Not shipping yet.
Right. So you take this once it's shipping, and you don't have an Apple TV, you plug it in, you turn it on, and you set it up through your iPhone or your iPad, and you're done. Now, you can control it completely. Not a problem. The thing is, you can't use HomeKit to control it remotely because you don't have an Apple TV. But you can still control this while you're at home. Not a problem. It's if you want to control it remotely through HomeKit where you would need to get that Apple TV, because that becomes the bridge between your HomeKit network in your home and your remote connection back in.
That makes sense.
So, and the only reason I wanted to go through that whole description is because I have a feeling there's a lot of people that are feeling right now, like, because they don't have an Apple TV, they prefer Roku or Amazon Fire Stick, whatever, that they can't use any HomeKit devices. Not true. You can. You just won't have that remote access through HomeKit.
Right. And things like Hue work with HomeKit, mm-hmm. but they need the Hue hub.
Right.
And I just wanted to avoid getting the hub.
Okay. So,
and what made me think about this and start looking was that we covered the Sylvania Smart Plus white LED bulb, which is supposed to ship this month, later in October, and it does not require a hub. But the problem is like I want one today, so I went looking for HomeKit compatible smart bulbs that don't need any kind of hub that's not a HomeKit specific device, and really wasn't finding a whole lot.
Okay. Yeah, there's not a whole lot. There's LIFX, I think that's how you pronounce it, LIFX.
Yeah.
And that one is under $60, as I recall. Hold on, I'm looking it up right now. Oh, okay. On Amazon, $53.99. And it's a white light, and it works with HomeKit, Google Assistant, and Alexa. And
I would rather have something that's HomeKit only.
You're not going to get that.
Sylvania Smart Plus.
Sylvania Smart Plus. I thought it supported other.
That's what the Smart Plus is. It is.
I would say HomeKit only bulb.
It's a HomeKit only version of the smart bulbs they've already been doing.
Okay. So, well, here's another thing about a lot of these products that support other platforms. You don't have to enable or link them up to those other platforms. So as an example.
Yeah, but if they have that capability, it's possible that any attack vectors that can exploit the chips and firmware that make those other platforms, that support those other platforms, they're still there.
Yep, that's something to keep in mind too. Yep.
And mind you, HomeKit hasn't proven to be bulletproof. We haven't heard any big issues with people hacking HomeKit, and it's not like HomeKit is perfect, but I do trust Apple's approach to security better than I trust Google or Amazon.
Yeah.
For whatever that's worth. Now, the LifeX stuff, it's either LifeX or LifeX. Mm-hmm. We don't know which.
No.
If grammatically it would be LifeX, but it seems like they would actually want it to be LifeX, doesn't it?
It does. And they spell it with all capital letters. So, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
So does that need a third party hub? Is there a LifeX hub?
No. It's just a screw in bulb. Everything's contained in the bulb.
So it's got Bluetooth or Wi-Fi?
I'm not sure.
And so the LifeX, are you saying that the LifeX stuff is also compatible with the other networks?
Yes. Yeah. LifeX does HomeKit, Alexa, and Google Assistant.
Well, that's interesting because Sylvania has other smart bulbs that list LifeX support without listing HomeKit. So is it not possible that LifeX is its own thing and that some LifeX devices also support the other ones?
It's possible that they're using like Zigbee or something as underlying technology, and that wouldn't surprise me at all, because if they're doing that, then you get this compatibility with all these different things just because you have that Zigbee infrastructure in there. And maybe LifeX is using that as part of their...
Yeah, because I thought LifeX was its own platform.
It could be, but...
Top man.
That's all right. We can sit here and talk about... We can totally make our top men joke, because we should. But in this case, we're talking about stuff that's still so new that there's a lot that isn't just openly known about these products. And we're also talking about something where a lot of device makers will intentionally try to obfuscate part of what they're doing. And, you know, not like they're trying to do something evil, but they want to brand as their own thing. So if Zigbee is the underlying technology, well, they may not actually say that because they don't want to detract from their own brand, even though there's nothing wrong with saying Zigbee.
Fair enough. So bottom line is, if you're wanting to do HomeKit compatible smart bulbs, for instance, mm-hmm. and you're not wanting to use a third-party hub, but you still want to be able to control or access your smart bulbs remotely, you probably need to wait for the Sylvania Smart Plus stuff to ship.
Probably.
And Sylvania's doing, there's a smart bulb, Smart Plus full color bulb mm-hmm. that's supposed to be in stock on Amazon on the 27th. That's 2 days as of this recording.
Oh, nice.
Of October. But I say that it was originally supposed to be in stock today. On Monday it was in stock today, and yesterday it was in stock on the 27th.
All right. So I'm looking at it on Amazon right now. The Sylvania Smart Plus A19 full color LED bulb.
Yeah.
No hub required. I can order it today. Oh, I see what they're doing. May take an extra 1 to 2 days to ship. So
that's a change.
Yeah.
And there's also, like I said, they've got a white one coming, a white light one coming as well.
Mm-hmm.
That is HomeKit specific. But that one's not even listed on Amazon yet. Maybe it's actually shipping later than October.
That could be.
I wrote this up. Let me actually find.
And I'm going to do some speculation here on the LifeX bulbs.
Yeah.
I'm betting those are Wi-Fi so that they can
talk
on the network.
They are.
And the Sylvania bulb, since it's HomeKit, it could be Wi-Fi or Bluetooth.
Well, they don't have a range. I think it's Wi-Fi.
All right. There you go.
I think it's Wi-Fi. So they're supposed to, let's see, so what Sylvania announced on October 17th were white smart bulbs and a flex strip. And we're supposed to ship on the 23rd, but they're not on They're not yet on Amazon. Let me see if that's correct, because I actually had a direct link to it. Nope. It was on Amazon. I linked to it on Amazon.
And now they've pulled it?
And now they've pulled it. The white one. But the full color was the Flexstrip link isn't working either. But they were, obviously, when I put it together.
Yeah, of course, because you would check that sort of thing. I wonder if they pulled them because they realized that they needed to do some sort of software update for Crack. The Wi-Fi security flaw.
Yeah, that certainly is possible. But the full color bulb is available now. I think I'm just going to end up getting that one because I don't want to wait. And so to your point, it has changed from being available from the 25th a couple days ago to the 27th yesterday to now it says may take a couple extra days to ship. So I think I'm just going to order one.
There you go. And it's very exciting. $38.24.
Yep, which is not a bad price for a full color bulb.
No, that's a really good price. Yeah, I like that. I want to say, what did we say it was? $38. So that's what, about $6, $7 less than a single hue color bulb?
Yes.
So that's nice.
Yeah. So here's a couple of fun aspects of that. First of all, I love that I have a job where I can get a consultation and we can call it content.
Isn't that awesome?
Secondly, the fact that we need to have this conversation is another example of how early we are in HomeKit. And I think that Apple's got a lot of work to do to make HomeKit, to get HomeKit anywhere near the promise of what it has.
Yeah.
And there need to be more HomeKit products. So Apple has a very high bar for certification for HomeKit. Mm-hmm. That's great. But Apple needs to have engineers helping companies meet that bar.
Well, I think Apple, to some degree, is realizing that because we have the changes that Apple made to the HomeKit authentication thing. So, like, if you're a tinkerer at home or you're a developer and you want to prototype, you can do it now without having to get the full Apple certification. So, you know, so you don't have the little sticker that you scan and all that. And I like that. That, you know, that's a new thing with iOS 11. So I think that's going to help promote HomeKit device development.
Right. Let's hope so. Let's hope so. Because you know, I want HomeKit to be a thing. And yeah, let's just hope so.
Yeah. And in the meantime, I'm looking forward to hearing how you like your Sylvania bulb. I would love to try one out too. I'm so
yeah. Heavily. You're our HomeKit. You're our home automation guru at TMO.
Yeah.
So that's why I came to you for consultation.
So I think I should get a hold of one of these two and test it out. And then we can compare notes.
Yeah. Fair enough. That seems like a reasonable thing. To do. Okay, so on that note, mm-hmm. we talked about we were talking before the show. We were working on topics, mm-hmm.
And that's when you realized your hat band's great.
Thank you. You asked me if I wanted to talk about this company. What's the company that Apple bought this morning, or that we found out about this morning?
Power by Proxy. It's a New Zealand-based company that's just a few years old. That's been designing some really innovative wireless charging and wireless data transfer technologies.
And so you can not only charge, but you could actually include data in the same signal that's including the charge wireless.
Yes, with one of the devices that they have developed. So they have another one, totally just a side note thing that I find very interesting. Mm-hmm. Reliable wireless charging underwater.
So you asked me if I wanted to talk about this, and my gut reaction was, well, what will we actually talk about it? So Apple bought this company and you said to me, do you want to talk about the possibility that Apple is wanting to make a completely sealed iPhone?
And that's That to me is a very interesting thought, because you can take the lightning port off the bottom.
Yeah.
And then you can have wireless charging, you know, set your iPhone on a charging plate, but then also through the technology that Power by Proxy is created, you can do your data transfers that way too. So you set your iPhone on a plate and now it's juicing up and sucking up or sending out data.
Yeah. Doing like you could be as if you're connected by USB cable.
Exactly.
To your Mac or your PC.
Right.
And that is an interesting thought. And I have a snap answer to your initial question.
Okay.
Your initial question was, is Apple interested in making a completely sealed iPhone?
And what's your snap answer?
F yes.
We'll go with that. F yes.
Apple would love to make a completely sealed iPhone. Here are the reasons for that. Okay. One, keep our grubby mitts out of the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Two, the things that Apple could do in terms of casing, if they didn't have to worry about any kind of port, could be super interesting. Smaller, thinner, because that's something that Apple likes. Stronger.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly no, like, you know, like an issue that Apple deals with, even with the lightning only iPods, iPhones that are out there, is dealing with dust and lint collecting in that lightning port.
Mm-hmm.
That's a problem. So, you know, the current, the iPhone 7 and 7 Plus and 8 and 8 Plus and then the iPhone 10 when it comes out, they are, is Apple calling them waterproof or are they still just water resistant?
They're still water resistant.
Yeah, well, Apple could call it waterproof and be on safe legal footing if they could make a device that's completely sealed. And I think that Apple would absolutely love that.
Yeah, and for the components that could get water in them, at that point it would be limited to microphones and speakers. They could use the technology that they've already developed for Apple Watch, excuse me, where you have the swimming mode,
mm-hmm.
and the
you stick a digital crown on the side of those iPhones.
Yep, pop a digital crown on there, and then have it vibrate the water back out of those microphone and speaker ports.
Yeah, I don't think they do that with a digital crown.
No, they're not going to use a digital crown, but they could still do something where if the phone gets wet.
Yes.
You could use that that same technology to shoot the water out of the ports.
Right. And I am sure there are listeners right now screaming at either us or Apple or both.
Probably both. Mostly us.
mostly us. Probably both. Because the idea of Apple taking even the lightning port away from us.
I get think it's that. Only a matter of time.
I think it's a matter of time. I think that's where we're headed with this wireless charging. And I think it's where we're headed with the earpods. AirPods, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And this certainly what this company is doing with wire. Of course, you know, for Apple to have just bought this company, or how long ago did this happen? Like, did it happen like 2 years ago and we're just finding out about it?
No, this is a very recent thing.
Hmm.
And Apple's even been very open about it. Is that they said, yeah, we bought it and we're really excited about what we're going to be able to do with wireless charging. And we want to bring wireless charging to people all around the world.
Which they're already doing.
Uh-huh.
They're already doing wireless charging in the iPhone, in the iPhone 10.
Mm-hmm.
And with Apple Watch. So, I mean, clearly they don't need this company to do wireless charging. They're wanting this company to do something new with wireless charging.
Right.
Which could well be data transmission.
Yeah. And I of course, just find that fascinating.
It is fascinating. And I do think that it is inevitable that we go to a device with no ports. I think Apple would just love that.
I think so too. And
the question is like, how many users would be okay with that? I mean, because, you know, do you remember what I said about removing the headphone jack?
It was something along the lines of people are going to freak out initially, and within 6 months it won't matter.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what happened. Like, yeah, it always happens.
And, you know, every friend of mine that upgraded from an iPhone that had a headphone jack, mm-hmm, to one that didn't. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, I've been very upfront with all of them. Just so you know, the headphone jack's gone. You get the new headset that has the Lightning connector built in, so you've still got that. There's no headphone jack. You got to be prepared for that. There's no headphone jack. And they get their iPhone, and they're like, holy crap, arugula in a basket. There's no headphone jack on this. And they're like completely freaked out. They think Apple has completely lost it and the products are total crap. And a week later, I never hear about it again.
Yeah. And that's what it's been like. And it's what it's been like every time Apple has removed some kind of a hardware thing. People don't complain. I'm cranky as all get out that Apple has taken what I think was one of the best innovations in laptop charging ever.
Pulled MagSafe off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, now it's obvious that Apple is going to be doing contactless charging.
Yeah.
Wireless charging with that. That'll come to, if not the next iteration of its various MacBook products, the generation after that.
Yeah.
No, so, there's no doubt in my mind about that.
So now the interesting thing for the laptops will be, how is Apple going to make that so we can use it as a portable thing, like we do right now with our chargers? Because, you know, you go to the coffee shop, you go on a trip, you wind up your charger cable, throw it in your bag, and away you go. So are they going to make some sort of charging plate that is small enough and convenient enough that we can still wrap up our cables, throw it in our bag, and go?
Good question. Probably.
I hope so.
I know the charging plate that they showed us at the iPhone event is not that small.
Oh, no, absolutely not.
I mean, it's big enough for what they put it on. Did they put like an iPad, an iPhone, and an Apple Watch on it?
They put an iPhone 10. They put an Apple Watch Series 3, and they put AirPods in the new wireless charging case.
Right, that's it. Right. And, you know, that's you know, that makes for a fairly. I mean, I don't know, I suppose you could charge it. I mean, do you want to hold that in your lap?
Nope.
I don't. I'm crossing my legs even thinking about that.
Yep, I'm with you right there. All right, so while you're sitting there uncomfortably thinking about what might get cooked or charged, if Apple takes away that headphone jack, do you think that they would stop including headphones of any kind with the iPhone, or would they include AirPods?
You mean if they took away the Lightning port?
What did I say?
You said headphone jack, because they've already done that.
Really? Holy crap, there's no headphone jack on my iPhone. Just so you know, I went through the process of picking up my phone to look at the bottom of it for method acting. Anyhow. I mean, there's a lot of...
Yeah, so that is a good question. Whether or not Apple would give us... Would they maybe do a cheap version of AirPods? They're not going to throw in a pair of $150 AirPods.
Oh, of course they're not.
So I don't know that and
maybe that's a thing where AirPod Series 2 comes out, and then the original AirPods, by that point, the manufacturing cost has come down substantially, and maybe they do something like. Oh, no, that would be really bad. I was going to say, take the microphone out of one earpiece. That would be really bad.
Because yeah.
What do you do for people that are deaf in one ear? And they took the headphone and the mic out of the wrong side.
I don't know how they would do that. That actually is a compelling argument for not doing this. I mean, but I don't know. Maybe we'll see it on the iPhone, you know, X1.
I think they're done with the name or number after the phone. I think next year it's going to be iPhone Fall 2018.
Yeah, that's possible too.
It would fit with what they've done with every other product.
I don't really know. But I do think that Apple would love to go sealed device. And and there are a lot of compelling reasons, a lot of compelling arguments to have a sealed device. Reliability, strength, water damage, lint, dust, ports just, breaking and becoming, getting rubbed out, as it were.
Mm-hmm. All those cables that we continually break because Apple still can't figure out how to design those.
Yeah, I love, yeah. Yeah, give me a nice Kevlar. Nice Kevlar cable with one of my favorite ones, by the way, right now, it's got a spring on the end of it. So where the wire connects to the connector, there's a spring.
I have a home hack for you.
Yeah.
Okay. So listeners, those of you that don't have Kevlar cables with springs all over them, but you have Apple's own little, USB to Lightning charger cable, and you're worried about that connector end breaking, go find one of the click top ballpoint pens, pull it apart and take the spring out from the end. It's the right diameter. You can wrap that around the end of the cable and keep it up there where the actual plug is. And that will help reinforce it so that you're less likely to have your cable split.
I like that.
You like that?
Yeah. Have you written that up?
Not yet.
Yeah, write that up.
I need to find a pen I can take apart.
Seriously?
Yeah. I don't have any pens where I can actually pull this. I don't have a pen to pull the spring out of.
Hold on a second. Okay. Got one coming to you from Amazon.
I don't believe you because you didn't use your Echo to order it.
No echo in here, sir.
Yeah, I know. It's because of the great acoustics you have.
Yeah.
All right. No, I just need to find a pen to take apart, and then I can actually make one of these and show our listeners how it works.
Yeah, that's great, man. You should totally do that. Yeah. I like that. All right. Listen, I'm going to record Pop.0 today with John Keat.
Oh, that's fun. Is he going to use his polite words to talk about Amazon?
No.
Is he going to use his polite words to talk about Apple?
He doesn't have any polite words.
Oh, wait, you said John Keat.
Yeah, John Keat, right. So I got to get going, so I got to get ready for that.
All right, well, then I'll just scoot us right along. And that's this week's Apple Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, write us at acm@macobserver.com, and thanks for listening.
Our content is written by the good people at the Mac Observer. Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly. The bass is by Boom, recorded for TMO. That's all for this week.
Hey Siri, reboot Brian and stay subscribed.
By your command. We'll see you online at the Mac Observer.